Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, there you are. And here I am. Welcome back to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love devolve into BS, things that manipulate or shame or control others. And I do not want to live my life there. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and you are who you are, right? Welcome. Thank you for giving me this half an hour of your life and time. I don't take that for granted. I really don't. I am here with plans and dreams that you, as you'll hear in just a moment, dreams for love, dreams and plans for how to love and how to dive into the deep end, the high purpose of love. So every week here at the No BS Bishop, we do this. We explore, we unpack, we discuss, we contemplate. I peel back the onion of love, and I hopefully make you cry like when you're cutting an onion. I want you to cry. I do cry good tears, cry happy tears, that you're discovering something that makes life worth the living. Eric Fromm said one time, love is the only sane and satisfactory answer to the problem of human existence. We're going to talk about that today. Love is the only sane and satisfactory answer to the problem of human existence. That's Eric Fromm's quote. But before we get there, let's do what I lead you in here week in and week out, and that is Love's Creed, something I wrote years ago, and it's something that I treasure. I've made it a part of my daily ritual, and I want you to make it a part of your daily living, to say this out loud. Let your ears hear your heart as you declare and proclaim that for which you are alive, alive to love, all right? I'm going to give it to you in total, and then I'll go back and give it to you in short bursts as I would a couple at a wedding altar so that you can make it like a vow. If you'd like a copy of this, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'll be happy to send you a copy. But other than that, here it is, Love's Creed. I'll give it to you in total to start with. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed. Now let me go back, give it to you as a vow. I'll give it to you in short bursts, and you repeat after me. It's so important for our ears to hear our own voice, say what we believe. That's why we do the Apostles' Creed in church. That's why we say prayers together, the Lord's Prayer and other things together. It's important that our ears hear what our heart believes. Here we go. Here it is in short bursts. You repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There it is, Love's Creed. Put it on a 3x5 card or something that you have at the ready or handy with you. Put it in your phone or your computer where you can see it routinely. And maybe you don't have to say it out loud. Maybe you have the opportunity just to whisper it. But it's important to get this kind of rhythm going in your thoughts, to meditate, something that is the most productive activity of the human race. That's right, love. It's the most productive activity in the human race. And so the quote I started with by Eric Fromm says, love is the only sane and satisfactory answer to the problem of human existence. Oh, yeah, human existence is a problem. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that human existence creates challenges, some new, some old, some repeated for centuries old, and some people just invent ways to be a challenge? But the only satisfactory answer and sane answer to the problem of human existence is love. We were created by love and for love. Love is that for which we are on this planet. And so I'm here to lead you in something that, as I say here every week, it's a pilgrimage. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You're not going to get love in a sprint. It's going to have to be a part of your daily regimen every day of every year of every decade of our lives. Up until the last breath we take, love will be the only sane and satisfactory answer to the challenges of our existence. Martin Luther King Jr. said one time, we must meet the forces of hate with the power of love. So I just see this as the more unlovable and unwieldy culture becomes, the greater is our commandment to love. I know people say, oh, we live in such terrible times, we'll never be able to get out of this, to which I answer, I do believe we can't get through this. By the way, history proves that humankind has been through an awful lot of hell, an awful lot of pain, an awful lot of misery. And the only way out, the only sane and satisfactory answer to the problem of human existence has been love. And so that's why I say the more unlovable and the more unwieldy our culture becomes, the greater our commandment to love, the deeper our commandment to love. And that's why 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love. He who dwells in love dwells in God. I do believe God is love and love is God. That if we abide in love, we abide in God. And if we abide in God, we abide in love. And I say to myself and to others all the time, when you step aside from love, you're stepping aside from God. So I have to ask myself, if I'm stepping aside from love, then I have to know that then I don't have a right to ask, God, where did you go? I think God answers us from the little room that's called love over here to the left side of our living. He says, I'm over here where I've always been, in this room called love. If you step aside from love, you've stepped aside from me. Love is the answer, no matter what the questions are in our life. When people ask me, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. I don't know what God wants me to do. I'll tell you exactly what the will of God is for you. I can tell you precisely. I'm a prophet. I'm going to close my eyes and look up into the heavens and with my eyes closed and say, I have the answer. Love is your calling, no matter what your question is, no matter what your challenge is, no matter what the stage of your life is, no matter what the pains are in your life. There is no other answer to the human dilemma than love. Love is always the answer. Not more righteous rage. I hear people all the time saying, well, I'm angry, but it's a righteous anger. No, that isn't the purpose of life. No more battling Bible verses. Oy, oy, oy. So I've been a pastor for 50 years. I've been in ministry for that long a time, and I've read the Bible cover to cover over those past 50 years. Many times I'll read it again. I love the Bible, but I refuse to use the Bible as a battering ram, as a club to fight with people. Well, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. Well, you know, the Bible says a lot of things, and we better be careful outside of love what we're telling people the Bible says. Anything outside of love is outside of God. And if it's outside of God, then maybe we need to re and double check what we're reading in the Bible and bring it through the lens of Jesus and love, not through the lens of our righteous indignation. You know, here we are in this culture, in church culture, we're sunk in righteous indignation, defending our moral values. We're cherry-picking Bible verses and say, you can't do this and you can't do that and how dare you do this. And listen, none of that's going to change anybody, never has, never will. The only thing that will change any heart from hard to soft is the command to love. Jesus said in one time, on Maundy Thursday, after he had washed the disciples' feet, he said, listen, I got one commandment. That's what mande means. It's the mandate. This is the mandate. I have one new commandment. And it wasn't really new, but it was new to their hearing. One commandment, love one another as I have loved you. And by this will all people know that you are my disciples indeed. You know, it seems to me that if Jesus said, and he did say, this is the means by which the whole world will believe you are my disciples, it seems to me then we better get after that. We had better go after that one commandment. Why are we cherry-picking other Bible verses? Why are we cherry-picking other points of reference so that we can bang people up in the head with what we believe when we haven't finished the journey of love? And by the way, none of you listening, including me talking, we've not finished the journey of love. It's going to take all of our living, all of our days, all of our breath, every morsel of food we eat is going to be to the end of creating caloric ability to get up and go with this one new commandment. Not righteousness, not justice, not holy standards, not proving God's existence, not defending Christian freedoms in our nation. No, one new command, love. An unknown monk once said, I want to be anointed with the expensive, expansive capacity to love all things sacrificially. Isn't that beautiful? A monk, unknown, no name that I know of anyway. If you know the person who said it, then you send me their name. But I know I have it written here in my notes that there is an unknown monk who said, I want to be anointed. I want to be gifted. I want to be called with the expensive, expansive capacity to love all things sacrificially. To love, you know, St. Francis of Assisi said, to love every morsel of food, to love every breath that I take, to love every tree, every stone, every path, every blade of grass, every flower, every animal, to love every centimeter, every little piece of the created order, to love it all so that my life can be defined in this beautiful capacity of loving all things sacrificially. 1 Corinthians 14:1 in the Message Bible says it this way, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. 1 Corinthians 14:1 out of the Message Bible. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. At the beginning of this year, I resolved again, as I have resolved now, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row, this resolution. For most, I will love with as much proximity as possible, meaning geographically, in some close proximity. For some, I will love with as much as I can grasp or learn on any given day. That is to say, there are many people whose challenges and their lifestyle, their attitudes, their priorities are perplexing to me. But I will love them with as much as I can grasp or as much as I can learn on any given day. You know what that means, though? If I love folks, then I must be committed to learn. I must be committed to a path of education, to inform myself. You know what inform means? It means to form internally, shape internally how you view the world. The rest of this resolution is, however, for a few, I will need to love at a safe distance for their sake and for mine. And there are always those few whose priorities are to cause harm, to be damaging, or to cause pain in our lives. There are those who just are not going to see how they are injuring others. And so for those few, and I don't see that as a lot of people, but there are those few, I will have to love them at a safe distance for their sake and for mine. But no matter what, for all, I will love. Because as 1 Corinthians 14:1 in the Message Bible says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. So I started this quote, this episode with a quote from Eric Fromm, which is this: love is the only sane and satisfying answer to the problem of human existence. The layers of human existence, I don't think they're more complex today than they've ever been before. We are just much, much, much more aware of those layers. We are today now more informed about those layers of human existence by social media, by the internet, by television, by all manner, podcasts, radio, you name it, we're getting information 24/7. By the way, I think there's a point at which we're getting too much, and I think there's a point at which we have to back away. I think we have to give ourselves a mental sabbatical. Let your mind rest. But that being said, I'm kind of an information junkie. I like to read. I like to give myself to understanding, to wrapping my mind around challenges of life. I like this subject of love. I've been on this radio broadcast for 4 years talking to you about love, haven't I? And it's inexhaustible. And so whenever I come in here and I have my notes and I have ideas, I always come away having said more than I planned to say, because love is an inexhaustible, existentially universalized, beautiful painting drawn by God himself. And you can walk up to that painting and put your nose right close to the print, right close to the, actually to the paint strokes, and see in every stroke of a painting that what God has done in love is going to take all of our living. And the human existence, the human tragedies, the human joys are all a part of this exploration of love. Now, Jesus said one time, he said, you are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, right? Yeah. How many of you are trying that? Show of hands? Yeah, well, what Jesus is talking about there is to make a target, that we would have the bullseye in front of us of God's own perfection. And that the word perfect there is to see with it like a telescope, to see down, way down the pathway, and to aim at what God is for our own existence. Now, here's what Jesus said in the rest of that comment when he said, you are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He said that God sees every bird and he feeds every bird. He's counted the hair on your head. So here's how I respond to that. God is seeing like we don't see. There's no sparrow that falls unnoticed, no hair on our head that has been left uncounted. Like the time you first noticed your little elementary classmate glancing at you, and you felt this little boyish or girlish rush of your heart, and you thought, oh, did they see me? Did they catch me looking at them? That kind of rush is how God sees me and you every day. There's not a day goes by but what God glances our way in the hopes that we will have glanced in his way. And he is happily longing. He's just joyfully longing that we would catch him looking at us. Catch him looking at that sparrow that's in our yard. Catch him looking at that leaf that falls from a tree. Because you see, the existential beauty, the transcendent glory of God is fully aware of every earthly morsel that is happening. And by the way, how many other planets and galaxies and solar systems are now out there in front of us? It's 100 trillion, billion, million, trillion. I'm making it up, by the way. It's infinite. The numbers of all the created order that is out there, we've discovered through the James Webb Telescope and through the Hubble Telescope. There is so much more to the created universe than we have even dared dream. And every atom, every molecule is of God's interest and creation. It is in God's eye. His eye is on the sparrow, is a great old song. And his eye is on me. His eye is on that expansive galaxy, light years away. And yet at the same time, the eye of God is on me. That love, I like to say it this way, that love of God in his divine eye is looking through the storefront window at, you know, like when you were a kid looking at that puppy in the pet store, you know, how much is that puppy in the window? God looks at this little puppy, Randy. He looks at you, that little puppy, you, and he is looking and saying, oh, there's my baby girl. There's my baby boy. And with love, that massive, transcendent, magnificent breath of God is steaming up that window as he joyfully, happily, longingly, lovingly glances at us. And so that's why I'm here. And every week I say, look, we folks of faith need a solid, grand understanding of love, one that's free of our need to control people or manipulate or prove how right we think we are, to love unlovable people, and by doing so, to live in the majesty of God. And it's all about rising to that majesty, isn't it? As Jesus said, you are to be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect, to rise to that majesty and to know that that majesty of love is often rejected, and yet it never stops. It never retreats. It never pulls back. There is no turning back for the love of God, because when God loves, really loves, and he does, the reward is in that love. And so he invites us to be like him. When we love, and we really love, the reward may or may not be in a reciprocal love or a reciprocal gratitude. But the reward for us is always in the love itself. Love is its own best reward. You say, well, I tried loving and it didn't work. I beg to differ. Every time you genuinely loved, it worked. It worked for you. It worked in your heart. It kept your heart formed and shaped in the passages and in the hallways and in the doorways and in the rise and the fall of what love really is. When you give yourself to the ocean of love, you will forever swim in what life is all about. Well, we close every episode of the No BS Bishop with two exercises, and I don't want to rush them today because they seem to me to be so pertinent to who we are. And that first exercise is learning to breathe. It's, you know, it's the one human activity that we physically can't do without. If you're not breathing, you're not living. But when you're breathing well, you're living well. And sometimes we can only breathe a little when we've been injured or we've been sick, and the hospital or the doctor is having to give us physical therapy as to how to breathe again. What they're trying to do is to get as much oxygen to as many external points of reference in your body as you can get. So on the count of three, I want you to take the deepest, most healthy lung full of air you can, to draw it in the best way you can. And if you're physically in some form of duress, that's okay. Just take it in the best way you can. But if you have the capacity, drag air all the way to the basement of your lungs and hold it up against your diaphragm. On the count of three, take in a deep breath. Here we go. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. Maybe you want to breathe in enough air to say, when you exhale, I'm alive to love. What better way would there be to exhale gratitude? I'm alive to love. Let that breath be your commitment, your reach for what your life is really all about. The second exercise we do, and I am notorious for this because some people know, oh my gosh, here he goes. He's going to say that whole thing, I love you. In fact, as I came in the radio station today, somebody met me at the door and the first thing they said was, I love you. It was such a treat. I realized, hey, there's one of my listeners. That was so great. So I want to challenge you to find somebody somewhere, look them in the eye, be determined to say it in a meaningful way, and be determined to hold eye contact, be determined to say it slowly, because I love you are the three most charmed, magical, poetic, significant, existentially glorious words in the human language, whatever that, the maybe French or Spanish or English, whatever the language is. I love you shatters all barriers. So find somebody, look them in the eye, hold eye contact. Oh yeah, it's weird, it's awkward, it's clumsy, I get it. I find that happening to me still as often as I've done it. But don't cheat yourself or others of this point of reference. Hear me when I say through the radio, through the digital device you may be listening to me on. Hear me when I say, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your circumstance is, however deeply pained you may be or however joyously happy you are in, condition you're in, I want you to know, I love you. Now go out there and do something beautiful in this crazy, wild adventure called the human race. Give somebody a reason to breathe again when you say to them, I love you. Do something beautiful, folks, because ugly, oh baby, ugly is getting done to death. Time for people of love to rise up with love in their voice, love in their eyes, and love in their footsteps. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com. And we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.